And good afternoon, Muskegon. You know what time it is. It's time for your show, Torn in Two, with Gregory T. Roberts and Pastor Melvin Burns. How are you doing, sir?
Good afternoon, my brother. How are you?
It's good. We need to tell people it is snowing outside. Winter is back. It's icy. Take your time and where you're going.
Yes.
Also, we need to say what happened in Memphis. We're praying for Memphis. We'll talk about that issue another time.
Yeah.
But what we are dealing with, we're talking about, and it's one of those issues that is people don't want to talk about. You just told to stay away from that person. We've been talking about people that have been molested, molestation. I told you that we were going to talk about this in all angles. Next week, we're going to be talking to Cedric Scott and Lewis Churchwell to talk about the inner minds of this. The last week, we'll be talking about Nate Johnson, Elder Nate Johnson, who served time but now is a elder pastor at my church, who had a chance to deal with guys that hurt people who were hurt. And so with that said, let's get down to the show. Today's guest is one of those people, boots on the ground. I mean, she is actually out there dealing with what has happened. She works at the Hope Project. And I know I ain't said this in 2023, but put your hands together for Rita Kevinis. Come on in, Rita. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm humbled. How you guys doing today?
Good, Rita. Who is that guy sitting by your side?
This is my handsome, my snickerdoodle, my schnookle, my boo thing. This is my husband, Pastor Daryl Kevinis.
Okay.
Hey, Pastor Daryl, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having us.
Listen, let's get straight to it. I am not shy about what I'm trying to do here, what we're trying to accomplish. That people are being hurt out there. The numbers are tremendous. And it's happening in Muskegon right now as we speak. And so let's get to it. Pastor Melvin Burns, first questions.
Let's start off. Why don't you tell folks what organization you're here, but tell us about the Hope Project.
So I work for the Hope Project. We're at 1516 Peck Street in Muskegon. Mm-hmm. We're the very next block over from Muskegon High School. It's a big blue sign in the front that says the Hope Project, bringing light to those in darkness. Mm-hmm. Our goal here, our mission here, is to support survivors of sex trafficking, female survivors of sex trafficking, and youth that are vulnerable to sex trafficking. So those are the kids that are cutting, that are skipping school, that are sexting, that are doing very unsafe stuff on the internet, that are very sexually active. The hope is that we can catch them early and prevent them from being trafficked.
Okay.
Now, you said something to me while we were getting ready for the show, mm-hmm. that a large portion of the people that you deal with were molested.
Yes. Absolutely. It starts there very often with molestation. It starts with a lot of times when they're young in the home, they're kept quiet. They're not able to have a voice. They don't get a chance to talk and share a lot of things. And then that gradually, progressively leads them to the behaviors and then looking for love in all the wrong places. And then before you know it, you're being pimped out, prostituted, trafficked.
This is not happening in Muskegon, is it?
You know what? I hear that so often. Not in Muskegon County. Absolutely, this is happening in Muskegon County. We have clients in Muskegon County and Grant, Shelby, Spring Lake, Grand Haven. I mean, what does a survivor look like? What does a victim look like? Anybody. It can mm-hmm. happen to anybody. You know, we looked at, when I first came to the Hope Project, I had a misconception also. I had seen the movie Taken. Mm-hmm. So I knew that my first client was coming in, she was gonna be handcuffed, she was probably gonna have a black eye, and I was ready to serve. I was like, I can't wait to meet her, I'm so excited to meet her, how can I help her? And it was a businesswoman that had been trafficked when she was younger, you know, that was experiencing some trauma. You know, she had some triggers and some things that happened, and she was looking to get back into therapy. And so I'm looking at this woman, wondering if she's here for a business meeting with me, and actually she is here for a meeting, but she's here looking for help, you know, for support. And so that wowed me, and it took all my blinders off, and then I began to step back and reevaluate how I looked at things as well, and said, you know, anyone can be a victim.
Now, speaking of anyone can be a victim, you talk, and one of the things you said before is that this is, again, what we've been saying. It's one of those issues that hands off, taboo, don't say nothing about, especially in our community.
In our community, in the Black community, it has been the hardest for me to even get into churches, to get into areas to just do awareness presentations. No, people don't want to talk about it. You know, we might know that Uncle Timmy is a bad guy, and we know he touched kids, but no one talks about it. Just say, you just stay away from Uncle Timmy, you know, or it's shared what happens in this house stays in this house. So you don't tell when you leave out this door, you better not take our business out this door. So kids leave out the door with all this baggage on the inside, not knowing what to do with it. Then they're acting out. They're doing all these other things. And before you know it, they're coming in my door, looking at me saying, I really need some help. When we could stop that and do some preventive things on the backside, you know, with allowing us to get into the schools, getting into the health classes, getting into the psychology classes, just going in there talking about what it looks like. You know, the Child Advocacy Center, we partner with them, the Child Abuse Council here in Muskegon, and, you know, Debbie Anderson, and we would go in and she takes like the little puppets. She takes, and they would show a black eye, and, you know, a black eye is not okay, or a puppet had a broke arm, you know, teaching the kids when they're young what's not okay, what's not accepted, can prevent a lot of things from happening to them as they get older.
Wow. Pastor Burns.
Getting to know to keep this in our house, you know, what happens in our house, stay in our house, was sort of my generation. Are there any differences you're seeing in the younger generation, or is it still sort of the same things being said in the home?
There's still a lot of the same things. What I'm seeing a lot more of now is babies having babies. So it's the daughter, the mother is 30, the kid is 16, and her baby is 3. So you see such a young age, you know, they're all connected. So they're all like siblings, more so than the mother-daughter, you know, granddaughter scenario. You know, grandma's not old enough to be a grandma, so she's not trying to be the grandma, you know, and the daughter's too young to be a mama, and so the baby's just kind of wandering. So, but you do, they still say you keep it close to the chest. You don't tell what's happening in this house, absolutely.
And not only in this house, you were telling me a horrific story, us being in the ministry, who just... The first guy that we had on the first week, where the story was Honora, when he went to tell his pastor, you were telling me some stories about some things that happened in churches.
Yeah, you know, we are a faith-based organization, but we don't force Jesus on anybody, okay? I love the Lord with all my heart, but we don't force him on anybody. They should be able to see Jesus in us and want to emulate us because of what they see in us, right? Emulate more like him. So we have women that come in here that are atheists, that were raped by a pastor, that were raped on the communion table, that were passed around by a deacon team. You know, the one girl, her one of her family members had a key to the church, and he would go to the church and he'd take her in, and then she'd be passed around through leadership. So we have women that don't want to hear about God, because if there is a God, why was he allowing this to happen to me in this building that's supposedly his building?
Wow. But not only churches, because we don't want you to, you're picking on the church. No, we're not. No, we're just telling you how real this is, and this is happening everywhere. Yeah. Right, Rita?
Insidious, and people think it can't happen in small town America, but it's happening everywhere.
Wow. And so we see this thing where you said Shelby, Muskegon Heights, Fruitport, it knows no boundaries.
There are no boundaries for sex trafficking. There's no boundaries for it. And predators are everywhere. You know, I was just at a training and they were talking about, I was just at the Michigan Human Trafficking Conference training in Troy, Michigan. And they were talking, one of the things that they were saying is how the drug dealers, are backing out of the drug game, you know, with the dope, because, you know, you get caught with a crack rock or heroin or whatever, and you get this time, but you can pass up a woman or a person on over and over and over and over again. So I'm riding in the car with a person. The police stop. They see us. They don't stop us. You know, we keep going, and I could be headed off to sell him or her wherever. So it's there's when I came into the Hope Project, there was a statement that was said, there's more slaves today than ever. Mm. And I said, bull.
Mm.
And I thought, and then I'm working here and I'm thinking, I call bull on that. I don't believe there's more slaves today than in the past. And then I began to see the intersecting workings of the predator. And there are more slaves today that are being forced, coerced, and frauded and made to do things that they definitely don't want to do today than ever in the history.
Well, so talk to us, because okay, the grooming that happens to the child or the individual, and how that person from the molestation, how that goes to their, how that person ends up in trafficking.
So it could be as simple as a lot of people, everyone's looking for love. We all want to be loved. It's a human nature to want to be loved. If you don't get that love at home, or you get bad love at home, you're just looking for love in all the wrong places. And sometimes some love beats no love at all, right? And so a lot of the people are looking just for some attention. You know, just, well, you're so pretty. Man, you are so handsome. You are amazing. Those little words go a long way, and slowly but surely they start to fill you up with all the good fuzzy feelings on the inside that you've been wanting anyways. It could go to, you know, I'm going to buy you a pair of sneakers. I'm going to buy you a pair of nice jeans. Just anything to make you feel wanted, to make you feel seen, to make you feel appreciated. It could be a girl that's a runaway. She's homeless and she's out walking the street. And a person comes along and says, are you hungry? You know, she's like, heck yeah, I'm hungry. They go to McDonald's. They go get something to eat. They're eating at McDonald's. And this person says, you know, you can sleep on my sofa tonight. My sofa is available. You can sleep on my sofa tonight. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool. I'll sleep on your sofa. That's fine. They don't want anything from me. They're being nice to me. She's thinking at some point now, this is probably going to be my boyfriend or my girlfriend. We're going to be in a relationship. They are so nice to me. And eventually it goes to, you know what? You've been here for a little while. The light bill's due. If you just go and have sex with Timmy just this one time, no one has to know, you'll really be helping me out. You'll help us out. We'll have somewhere to stay. We'll have lights. We'll have food, whatever he's saying this money is for, or she's saying this money is for. And because of love, I'm falling in love with you. I'll do this. Just this one time, you promise. I promise, just this one time. And then the next time it's, you know, you really need to do this again. No, I don't really want to do that. Oh, you're going to do this or else. And it gets to be really ugly at that point. And then she has nowhere to go, or he has nowhere to go. It's snowing outside. What do I do?
This is not only he that is abuser, it's she's that abuse as well.
I keep saying she, he or she, absolutely. Mm-hmm. We know female predators as well as male predators, absolutely.
That's Bert.
So tell us, what are some of the things we should be telling our young daughters and young sons now about this topic?
You know, when you say young, I'm thinking middle school, elementary school is when you say young, is where my mind goes when you say that. Mm-hmm. The first thing is internet safety. Okay. You know, they have to be safe on the internet. They trust everybody. I was on a game yesterday. I was playing a game called Skip-Bo yesterday. My husband and I were driving, and we were traveling. He was driving. And while I'm playing it's a little three card game, kid game. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden it says, so-and-so wants to play with you. And I'm thinking, where did that come from? You know, and I know a lot of kids that'll say, sure, that can be my friend. You know, one of the things we get the privilege, the Hope Project, to go into the schools. We go on with DJ Hilson and Nate Johnson's team, and we get a chance to talk about internet safety and the myths and different things like that. And one of the things I always say is, how many friends can you have on Facebook? And they're like, Facebook, 5,000. And the number is actually 5,000. Instagram is infinite, you know? And so I said, well, how many of the people do you really know? Maybe 100. I said, well, they're not your friends and you trust them. You know, don't give your school ID, your school information out to anyone. Don't tell anyone the store that's on the corner by your house, but don't give your address. You know, I'm not gonna give my address, but I stay, you know, right by Muskegon High School. You know, the kids have to be wise in what they share. One thing about parents, we have to be better communicators with our kids, I think. We want to tell them what not to do sometimes, but why not to do it, why you shouldn't do what I'm telling you not to do.
Now say that. Please say that again, because a lot of us parents don't want to be transparent to say, hey, you know, this happened to me and could happen to you.
Right. It can happen to you. You know, and kids will receive that so much better if you come and say, this has happened. I know what's happening, versus I told you not to do it, Mr. Barnes, and you better not do it, you know. And then they're like, what? You don't tell me what to do. You're not the boss of me. Immediately they go there and they miss the whole thing that you were saying, you know. So just having them be safe, starting off with the internet would be the wisest thing. Parents having security settings on the internet, checking their Chromebooks, you know, and following up with them. You know, the bedroom has become a babysitter, so is the Chromebook, and so is these game systems. And you don't know what your kids are doing in that bedroom. You know, so with that door shut, with these headsets on, right? Mm-hmm. So just be wise about that and check in every now and then. Knock on the door, open it up. What you doing? Hey, you know.
Take the doors off. No doors.
My dad took my door off, Greg. You hear me?
Yeah, take the door off.
He said, this is my door. And it was gone for 2 weeks.
That's what I'm talking about. Take the door off. Because people don't understand that on the internet, somebody can say, well, you know, post, I'm having a bad day and they don't understand me and I'm mad and all this kind of stuff. And then there's somebody going, I'll inbox you and I know how you feel and I'm 14 and the person's 78. Absolutely. But that stuff is actually happening.
Oh, yes, it happens all the time.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I've been involved in several cases where the person was a lot older. We actually got a couple going on right now. Well, the person's a lot older and they lied about their age and the kid didn't know the difference. You know, they're trusting this old person that can take them anywhere. And I say to some of our clients, aren't you afraid of running away? You afraid of being out at night? It's scary. I'm scared. You know, and they're like, no, Rita, no. I said, well, what are you afraid of? Spiders. I said, what did you just say? Spiders. Girl, I'm terrified of spiders. But not to meet a stranger, because these kids have been introduced to the internet at such a young age that they're not afraid of strangers on the internet.
Mm. Let's go to Houston, Texas, Michael Anthony Smith. Hello, sir. He says, don't buy it. They can't use it.
Well,
that's a good point. Don't bring the computer in there. They can't use it. Pastor,
you know,
Burns.
That sounds great. But they have to have Chromebooks at home now, right?
Yeah.
So now it's not even optional. You don't buy it. The school has to give it to them for them to get their homework done. And then, of course, the school has all these parameters and all these locks and different things. But kids are geniuses.
Yeah.
They figure out how to get a folder over here and how to get in over here. Before you know it, you're like, what are they doing? So I would love for kids not to have access.
You can't keep your child between libraries, the TVs. You can't keep them off the internet. It's not possible.
Well, and the technology is so bad. So if I want to have one setting that everybody sees on my phone, on my computer, that's great. Then I can put a code in there, and it's me and Mrs. Jones with a total another thing. Yeah. And, I mean, that's how savvy our technology is. Pastor Burns. Yeah.
Let's talk about another area. You know, we talk about the strangers, but family members and friends that we know, we have to warn our kids about. Talk about that.
You know, like I said, predators are everywhere. You know, we have some clients that have been sold by their parents to the dope man. Mm-hmm. You know, we have clients that were sold to the landlord for rent money. Mm-hmm. You know, we have clients that have been sold for food for the household, and then the kids grow up thinking that this is the norm. So they start off with this happening to them at a young age, so all they know is I have sex and I get something. I have sex and I get something. You know, so it happens, it starts off so young, and then when they get older, then it becomes drugs. Okay, you have sex, I give you dope, right? You have sex, I give you this. And so it just becomes a exchange. And some people, they don't even realize they're being trafficked They just think it's a normal life. This is just how it is. It's always been this way. My mama did it. My grandmama did it.
That's the saddest part.
I just do it. Well, what about your kid? You know, she might do it too. You know, because but it's all they know. So that's why here at the Hope Project, we provide mentoring. We do one-on-one mentoring. We provide education and awareness. We have groups and activities where they can get together peer on peer. We have a therapy practice here where our therapists can get to them and start working on the brain and on the heart, figuring out where the trauma started so that they can begin to heal, so that they're not stuck with that thought of it happened there. It has to continue on because generational curses can be broken.
Sure. Rita, please go back and say what you said again about the generational curses and how this all happens. Please explain to our listeners and people that are watching that how this happens.
So it could happen where the mother or the father could sell the daughter or the son for rent money. So the rent is due, the landlord comes over. Okay, we don't have the money, but we have an exchange. The landlord exchanges, they take the kid, they do what they're gonna do with the kid. And then the kid grows up thinking that this is normal. I exchange sex for something. So the kid starts off at a very young age, not knowing what's happening, but being groomed and trained that this is how it's supposed to go. And this kid turns into this teenager that's doing everything. Then drugs might get involved. You know, I'll give you some dope, you know, for sex. I'll give you this for sex. And a lot of people, they use sex with love. Those two words go together. If you have sex with me, you care about me.
Okay, let's go to the wall. Pastor Burns, she said, amen, amen, amen. It can be broken. Then she said, Beverly Wells said, it can be broken.
Generational curses can be broken, absolutely. But it takes work.
Just to not talk over some of our listeners here, tell folks what we mean when we talk about generational curses.
A generational, are you talking to me, Pastor Burns?
Both of you.
Both of you.
Okay. Do you want to talk about a generational curse?
Pastor talk.
Well, you know, it as you guys are shining a light on this issue, the saddest part about human trafficking is seeing the kids that don't have any idea that anything is wrong. And that's the most painful part of how insidious this issue is. And it's so widespread. It doesn't matter the demographic. It affects almost every demographic. It doesn't matter where you come from, what your race is. It affects all of us. And nobody wants to address it because it's so taboo. But then when you think about the kids, and them not even having an idea that anything is out of the norm. That's why it's so important for awareness. But when you talk about generational curses, because it's normalized, because you know when you're taught that something that is not what everybody else is experiencing is normal, you don't have a different frame of reference. So then you adapt and you assume that is standard behavior. And then you mimic that. And then if you have offspring, they see you doing it. So they don't think anything of it. And it continues. It perpetuates. And unless somebody gives them the information to understand that this isn't the norm, if you will, they're stuck in that repeating cycle.
So for us, we hear it in World Paul, but I imagine that's just a tremendous challenge to get people to understand that no, this is not the way, you know, this is not normal. This is not the way society is supposed to work. But that's probably really a tough challenge.
And it is, you know, but with the help, not one organization can do it all, right? But if we all work together with the Health West and the EWPs and the MPS, the Senior Pregnancy Services, the Child Advocacy Center, if we all work together, man, and we wrap our arms around these victims, survivors, and one of them starts bouncing backwards, we can bounce them into the right agency, right?
Right.
The right services that they need. One of the big things and one of the healing things is talking about it. Yeah. You know, our secrets make us sick. And we keep that stuff on the inside and it marinates and we have stomach aches and migraines and
high blood pressure
and fear and all the stuff that happens. And Greg, you understand that as a therapist, you understand this. And I'm sure you both understand it very well, that you have to talk about and get it up and out. And so our therapists here at the Hope Project are all trauma-informed. We have one that gets EDMR training. You know, they specialize in a lot of different areas. We have play therapy here at the office where you might just start off with coloring, you know, and then eventually you'll start talking as you're coloring. So we meet everyone right where they're at. Everyone is at a different space in their life, a different spot in their life. You might look 35, but you're only 12 or 13 mentally. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I working here, I've had to learn that. I've had a couple of ladies come in the door and I'm thinking, she can set her alarm clock, she can go to work, she can get on the bus, you know, and she can go home after work. The whole project will help her get some clothing. And I mean, all this stuff makes sense in my head. I got all my T's crossed and my I's dotted. And then her alarm clock doesn't go off. She gets to work late. They're screaming at her. She's hiding in a corner at work. She's calling me crying. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you aren't ready for this yet. So just realizing everyone is at a different space. She wasn't ready to go to work. She wasn't ready to get on the bus. She was terrified. Mm-hmm. You know, so just recognizing and seeing everyone as an individual. And everyone that comes through our door, on the outside of our door, you're a victim. When you make it to us, we're like, you survive. You know, and our help is to help you thrive. And that could be different in so many different areas. And thriving could be helping you get into housing. Thriving could just help you, give you a hygiene bag and a backpack. Thriving can help you get into therapy, you know. Thriving can help you get into groups with peers. So it thriving is so different for everyone. And our goal is to just help you be the best you can be. And you don't even know yet who you are. So we're going to teach you in these groups and activities and things that we do. We do equine therapy where they learn how to be an alpha, learn how to say no, learn how to tell the horse, pull the horse and tell the horse to stop. So we try to just figure out a lot of different ways to get them to recognize that they do have power. Even though they don't recognize it, they don't feel it, that they do have power.
And even in the small details, like you were talking about in the coloring, I witnessed a couple months ago where a child was asked to do a picture of his family. And one side, he had the family all colored nice and pictures and flowers. And the other side was a black crayon. So that meant there's some trauma, there's something there.
Yeah.
Talk about the small details. And hey, Lady J, it's the bottom of the hour. We're just going to keep on going.
Okay. As far as like with the, okay, so one of our therapists, her name is Lisa. She does a lot of the kit therapy, you know. And so she had this one Angelina Ballerina house. And so in the house, it's just a dollhouse. And you can look in there and you put in the house where everybody goes. So this is our bedroom, this is this bedroom, and this is this living room. And the client had no idea where to put people. She put someone outside the door. They were just outside the door, you know? And so she's like, well, who's going to be in here? And she's like, I don't know who's going to go in there. And, you know, her house is so congested. And a lot of times in our, with the houses that our clients live in, there's so many people, you know, couch surfing, in and out, you know, it's not really a habitable home. They don't feel safe there, you know? So in the home, it's just chaos. And I can imagine the black crayon, being on the board, them drawing something just black. We do anger therapy here also. We have these little cloth punching bags, you know, where they use the plastic baseball bats and they could beat the thing, you know, and different ways to get your anger out because they have anger. What do you do with it? You know, we don't just tell you just to stop because you're going to go home with it and then you're going to act out at home. So here we try to help you get the anger out here in the office with a licensed therapist, you know, or with me in my office. And then our CEO came in one day and he heard all kinds of screaming in the building. And he said, they're working on anger. He went out to the office and shut the door. He's been doing some anger work in the back, you know, So at the Hope Project here, we just pride ourselves on just loving everyone that comes to us. And the goal is just to help them get to a better space in their life.
So what do you say to that person right now that's being trafficked or molested? What do you say to that individual who feels, first of all, that all this is their fault, number one? And number two, I was told not to tell anybody. And number three, I will never be anything but what I've been told.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. You sound just like some of our clients, Greg. You know, so what we do is when they first come into our office, the goal is to get, you know, we start to do an intake and get to know them. That's not always how it works out. I just want you to come in, be seen. We always have food in here. We always got something. Are you hungry? You know, we're trying to let's work on some of your basic needs first. Are you hungry? You know, usually they're hungry. Are you thirsty? You know, we go back to my office. I have a really nice sofa and everything back there. We sit on the sofa and then we just have a conversation, you know, because I don't want to dig so deep because you already came to this intimidating building. You came to meet a woman that you never met before. You know, you're getting the door's locked at the front. You got to ring the buzzer. You know, I'm going to have to tell my story yet again. What are they going to do for me? Are they going to help me? You know, so we come in the back, we have a seat, we get to know each other. Sometimes we don't even do anything but talk that first day. Just talking, how are you? You know, look at your shoes. Oh, I like your office, Rita. And then we just have a conversation. We might get a cup of coffee. We might run around the Rikes, you know, and get some donuts and come back and just sit. The second time we're going to meet, we're going to talk a little bit more, you know, and get a little bit more into her story, get to know her a little bit better. We don't always go into empowering at that point. I just want her to be seen and heard at that point. And then I can transition her off to a therapist that can help dig a little bit deeper and go onto the other sides of that.
Pastor Burns.
Before we go much further, tell folks how they can reach the whole project.
So all you got to do, my direct cell phone, well, let me give you the office number, 231-747-8555. My extension is 23 here at the Hope Project. We are at 1516 Peck Street. My email address is Rita, R-I-T-A, at hopeprojectusa.org. If you have any questions, if you're not sure, if it looks suspect, call me, send me an email. And we can have a conversation. I just got a call from a school. I was coming back from Troy with my husband, and I had a school call me and said, Rita, I need you to come up here into our community and talk to this family. I'm like, okay, I'll be there Monday. You know, I got another court case I'm going in across on the other side of the state. We're available. We're accessible, and we're here. We started off in Muskegon County, and then we realized that there were clients everywhere, right? And so now we're in Western Michigan. And we just support and serve. We have clients as far as Kalamazoo and all the way the other way as far as Shelby Grant.
Hold on just a second. Beverly Wells, I need that number again.
Okay. The Hope Project's number is 231-747-8555. My name is Rita Cavanis. My extension is 23.
All right, Pastor Darrell, this goes out to you. This goes to Pastor Burns and Rita. What is it going to take? Rita, you said something that was great about it. It takes a lot of organizations to make this change. But my question is, what is it going to take for the people that are obviously supposed to be helping? Jesus perfectly said it on the Sermon on the Mount, what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
But what is it going to take for us to stop being quiet about these issues that are happening in our very places of worship? And home. And home.
Yeah. And home.
Yeah. It's going to take commitment to be our brother's keeper, because you have to prefer your brother or your sister over yourself. And if something is bothering your brother or sister, it should affect all of us as members of the church. So I don't care if whatever part of the body that's got an issue, if your toe is stubbed, the entire body, you know, your whole locomotion is off because that toe is injured. And your balance might be affected. You may not be able to walk as far. But the injury happened to the toe. The leg is fine. The knee is fine. But we're all members of one another. At least we should be. And we should act like it.
It sounds like collaboration is the word, right?
Right.
Yep. Collaboration is the word. You know, the church is partnering together. The agency is partnering together. We also have a task force, the Lakeshore Human Trafficking Task Force. The Hope Project co-chairs that task force. And that we go out and we do awareness presentations and trainings. We have one coming up with the police in the courts in another community in March. So reach out to the Lakeshore Human Trafficking Task Force, and you can get a lot of information from there. Tune into Greg's show. I mean, yes. And this show is very informative, learning more about what's happening in the community, the do's and the don'ts, the taboos and the won'ts. You know, we also have a community forum coming up, which is going to teach what human trafficking looks like. You know, it's not just the movie Taken and the handcuffs. The community forum is going to be January 23rd. It's like a human trafficking 101 educational. And it's January 31st, which is next Tuesday. It's going to be at Port City Church at 3387 Heights Ravana Road. And that's going to be from 6 to 8. And we're going to have some people from the prosecutor's office, some detectives on there. The FBI will be on there. We'll have someone from the Hope Project on there. There'll be a moderator. And we'll just talk more about what we see and how we collaborate. We work so closely with the prosecutor's office and the many police departments so that, you know, our goal is not to, is to help the people that are out there being trafficked. There was a, you guys heard about the sting that happened in Muskegon Heights. The goal for that whole sting operation was that the women would, could get in services and not be in the street.
No, I didn't. Tell us about what happened, because I didn't hear about it.
There was a sting. The Hope Project got to partner with Muskegon Heights Police, and there was a sting that happened. It was in the newspaper. It was a it was a quick burp. But what happened was the whole goal of that department was for the women to get off the street safe and into services. You know, and if the women did not have any charges, pending charges, you know, they didn't have to go to jail. They got into services, into treatment, into detox. So the Hope Project was sitting there in the police station with as the people came in, we were able to talk with them, meet with them, call treatment centers, get some. One girl had to go to the hospitals. A couple of girls did go to jail, but they're doing amazing in jail. They're going to get out. They're going to be doing phenomenal. We get to go see them at the jail. We get to take a therapist up to the jail. And so they get introduced to so many different things, right? So it was a success. Now, did some of them go back? Absolutely, because it's all they knew. Are some of them going to be in violation of some of the things that they agreed to do? Absolutely. But there are still some successes that came out of that. So that's collaboration and partnership with a police department, with a police agency. You know, we partnered with DJ Hilson, the lead prosecutor, and Katie Norton. I'm at the prosecutor's office. We get to go up there and sit and have meetings, and I go into the jail and talk to the women, you know, about better ways of doing things, how to get connected in programming, you know, when you get out of here, that you're not alone, that we're here as a support, that we care.
How important is, I am so proud of, I love the church that we go to. I love the organization that we're connected to, because we deal with people every day, and they go from being abused to sharing their testimony to help others. How important is that?
Oh, that is powerful, you know, and I know the program you're talking about.
Fresh Coast.
Yep, the Return Citizens program, you know, and I love how he uses the word return citizens versus felons, you know, because the words are powering. Words are powerful, right?
Yes.
And so having a success, someone tell their story, how I overcame, is huge. You know, we do have some survivors that have businesses. We have a survivor that helps co-lead a group. And the girls love that. We have a survivor that called me, texted me today and said she wants to mentor a young adult, you know, and I'm like, okay, bet. So I reached out to the mentor program coordinator. I'm like, okay, let's make this all happen. How exciting, you know, to watch them lead each other, you know, a survivor-led group. So yeah, it's exciting.
Now, here's a question for everyone. I heard, now this came out of a friend of mine's mouth that, his testimony, some of his family members said, you shouldn't have said nothing because that happened 20, 30 years ago. You should have shut your mouth. I know, Rita, you hear that all the time.
Yes, I do. I do. You know, it's not important. You know, why would you say that? Because you needed to. You needed to be heard. You needed to say it. And you needed to heal from that. So why hold that unnecessary baggage?
But they're not here to defend themselves. They're not here to defend themselves, so why bring it up?
Because it happened.
Well,
because it happened.
As long as we're silent about it, you're still enslaved to it.
Yes.
You're still in bondage to it.
Yeah. Wait a minute. And, you let pass the plate because he's preaching good.
Our testimony.
Yeah.
Amen. What'd you say, Greg?
I said pass the plate because he's preaching good. Say it again. Pastor Burns.
I was somewhere the other day. I was at a training. Oh, it was Michael Pine. He works for Community Mental Health. He works for Health West. And he does a suicide prevention training. So we do all kinds of training here because we want you to be equipped. So if you look at, if you go to the Hope Project's website, you'll see that we do a lot of lunch and learns and a whole lot of things that you can be more educated with things in the community. So we had a suicide prevention training here. And Michael said that it's a known fact that a person that has had someone commit suicide in their family is prone to suicide.
Mm-hmm.
You're more, and so I had never heard that before that way. Mm-hmm. So the Uncle Timmy did it. He's dead, you know. But Uncle Timmy's genes running through, you know, little Timmy, and no one's talking about it. And little Timmy could be touching somebody on the side. So it's important to get that stuff up and out, you know, so that the family knows what's happening, the community knows what's happening,
and those generational curses get broken.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
They talk about one of the things that one of my guests had on. He said, hurt people hurt others.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hurt people hurt people.
And, yes, you know, sometimes it's unintentional. And it's just you. And you hurt people because you're hurt. Sometimes you don't even recognize what you're doing.
That's profound.
Pastor Burns.
You mentioned working with the schools and the police department.
Yes.
Institutions are a problem. You know, we saw Michigan State. We saw U of M. They have a tendency to just want to sweep things under the rug. I want you to talk about some of the successes you've had working with some of the institutions like places and schools. And then you mentioned the churches early on. And, you know, and I'm, you know, as entrenched as I am, I'm very critical of things that we don't do, as we said, things we sweep under the rug. I want you to talk about what you'd like to see more churches do.
You know, I would like more churches just to open their doors and let us come in. If nothing but a mission moment, just to share, just to hear the word human trafficking, sex trafficking in a church, right? Yeah. Just to hear that word, because it's like, ooh. You know, and I did get to go to one church, and I said, you know, we get out of church, we get in our car, we go to Famous Recipe, we get our Famous Recipe, we go to Meijer, we get our soda, we get in our car, we go home, we lift up our garage, we let it down, and we go in the house.
Uh-huh.
We haven't seen anybody. We haven't talked to the neighbors. We were in line at Myers. We was on our phone, you know, so we're so distracted. So I think a huge conversation about distractions in the church, how easily we're distracted and how that this is Satan's, one of his weapons, how he keeps us distracted. Just having us come in, just talking about what it looks like, what survival sex is, how people are out here just trying to survive, and they'll do anything just for their basic needs.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately they end up being trafficked. Yeah. How everyone that's out there that looks like she is a prostitute could be being prostituted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we work with the police department. That is really coming along very well. We got a chance to go and train with some cadets to explain to them before they even go on the field, mm-hmm. what it looks like, what we see, boots on the ground, mm-hmm. as Greg says. Partnering mm-hmm. with the prosecutor's office is huge because we have a grant that we partner with them with. So they'll call us and say, hey, we see this. Why don't you come up here and check this out? We can have a little office up there where we can sit down and have conversations with them. The ladies coming and going. There was even a guy that talked about, you know, some of his situations. Men don't come out as often and say things. They say, you know, I was at school and I said, why don't guys come out more often? And they said, because we're not punks and we're not going to have our dad look at us a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it made me step back and look at my life and how I remember telling my boys, stand up, don't cry, you know, wipe your knees. You got this. Mm-hmm.
Put some dirt on the kids. Get back in the game.
Yeah.
You know, and so I had to talk to our boys and say, is there something you want to tell me that I missed out on? I'm sorry. I had to go back and apologize to them because are we not giving our boys voices to tell us what's going on, you know, what's really happening? Because we know it's happening to everyone, and we're not seeing a ton of that happen here at the Hope Project yet.
I think that's the key component of human trafficking and sex trafficking is the voicelessness. that the person that's being victimized feels like they have no voice or no way to advocate for themselves. And I think this is wonderful that you guys are bringing attention to how we can improve a way to help them advocate for themselves, because that's the only way they're going to get out of the situation.
Yeah.
And you're talking about boys, and I was using the story of last week about myself. You know, you 15 years old and you messing with somebody 24, you go, I'm the man, and you look like you're the man, but you don't know you're being abused.
Absolutely. Yeah. You're being abused. Absolutely. Yeah.
And you don't find out that during that time there are other people protecting you, but still you were being abused by that person.
Yes.
During the you guys have a masquerade ball.
Masquerade ball. Yes.
Yeah, masquerade ball. Hey.
The masquerade ball, that's the second Saturday in November, and that's a huge awareness presentation and a party. It's a huge party, but it brings awareness as to what we do. There's billboards up everywhere. That is our biggest fundraiser of the year. All of our we are a nonprofit. So we receive a lot of donations and donors and things like that. So the masquerade ball is wonderful. It was your first year coming this year, right, Greg?
Yeah, it was my first time coming. Now, this one of the speeches, you said that, you know, try dealing where you got an 8-year-old kid or even younger that's being trafficked and sold. That shook me.
Mm. Yeah, you know, I remember when our CEO, one of our co-founder, Jeff Martinall, he was coming out of his office and he went into the kitchen and a little bitty kid ran into his stomach and he said he almost threw up. It made him sick to his stomach, and she was a survivor of sex trafficking. And her mother had allowed her boyfriend, the stepfather, to have sex with her whenever he wanted to. And it was just to make him, you know, she wanted him to be happy, the mother did. Mm. And the kid was here. And her sister was here, you know, and one was vulnerable to it, and the other was actually a survivor of sex trafficking.
I'm just saying.
She was gay.
Wow, Pastor Burns.
One of the things the ladies from the Child Abuse Council said last week, they mentioned when they meet people and people say, where do you work? And then when they tell them what they do, they sort of get like people that want to run away from you. Like, well, why do you want to do that? Has that been your experience as well?
Yes. They're like, how can you do that? Oh my gosh. My husband was just saying that on the way to Troy today. And I was on the phone with a couple of different people. And he said, how did you say it? God gets the right tools for, how did you say that?
He definitely has the right tool for the right job.
He said, there's no way I could do what you do. He said, I started laughing. You know, he said, God definitely has the right tools for the right job. So I hear it all the time. How do you do that? You know what? I love my job. I love that I get the chance to come in here and walk alongside these people every day. Mm-hmm. I look forward to seeing who's going to come in the door and how we can be of assistance and how we can be of service. We just started offering backpacks out to the women. A lot of women come in here and they are couch surfing. And they have all their stuff in these little Meijer Walmart bags, right? And so then you're couch surfing. You don't do what they say you have to do. They tell you you got to do. You don't have sex when they say you have to have sex. They kick you out. All your medications are in there in these Walmart Meijer bags. You know, your clothing is in that. So we started providing some backpacks, you know, for the women. So when they come to us, they leave with everything in a backpack. So all her stuff is together. You know, and they're like, how do you think about that? You're like, because we see them for who they are. As real human beings that have gone through some horrific trauma in their life, and they're just lost, and they come to us looking for guidance, you know? And so we're just here to help out. So I told Daryl earlier, I said, you know, I've worked a lot of jobs in my life. I've had, you know, and every job I've worked equipped me a little bit more and a little bit more to be here. This is my purpose job. This is where I'm supposed to be. This is what I'm supposed to be doing every single day.
Yeah, we use that word calling.
This is my calling. There you go, Pastor. Preach it. Your job, your occupation,
it gets you up in the morning and you have a grace to do it. The other people, there's no way I could do it.
Rita, tell us about some of this. I get a chance and I get blessed to see it. Tell us about some of the success stories.
You know, we have we got one young lady that's going to be graduating this year, and others in her family have not graduated. So we were able to help with the help of donors. Bless her with her cap and gown. She's awesome. So excited. She's coming in here and she's going to be graduating. We have some girls that have gotten enough courage through groups and activities. They were part of the singing Christmas tree. You know, it's like you see them grow and blossom. You know, and you're like, oh, look at you. We just had a Christmas party in January. We called it Christmas in January for our youth. And they got up there with one another. They formed a sisterhood. And they were singing and rapping and doing things, you know. We have a couple of ladies that own their own businesses, you know, that are doing, they're doing very well. You know, do they still have some triggers and things that happen? You know, one of our ladies is a partner, is a therapist in another community. And she's one of our clients. You know, and so those are a lot of successes. Another success is we just opened up our women's home, you know, and so we're so excited about that. That is for adult survivors of sex trafficking. And so we have our first participant that went into the home. And so she is doing well. She is beginning to thrive and getting the programming. So we're just excited.
Pat Burns.
Now, how is your organization funded?
It's funded through donors and grants.
Okay. And so people are, they certainly, if they contact you and want to make a donation, you're open to that as well, I would assume.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The Hope Project, USA.org. Absolutely. 231-747-8555.
Definitely want to get that in there as well.
But you know something else, Pastor Burns? I don't know if you know this, but Greg and I have partnered. He's picked up the phone and called me and said, I need you to get over here where I'm at. Because I see someone that I believe is being trafficked. And I jumped up and I was over there, I went right to where he told me to come. So you know,
it's one of those things that's so important, you know, again, as a pastor, you know, we like to think we know it all and we don't. And one of the things we certainly advocate is pastors, have you a resource list? You
know, yes, sir.
I'm trained to teach
the gospel. Yes, sir, say it louder.
You know, I'm trained to teach the gospel, that's it. But we have, in our church, we have all kinds of situations. We need to have a list for people with drugs and abused and homeless.
Yes. So, Pastor Burns, we'd be happy to share our resource list with you if you'd like that. You know, we have one here at the Hope Project as well that we'd be happy to share, you know, where they can learn, where they can go wash their laundry at Sacred Suds, you know, where they can go do little things in the community. The Hope Project would be more than happy to share a resource list with you if you'd like
I've got an idea about something else because, I'll talk to you later because I have an idea.
Okay, sounds good.
Let's go back to the board. Hey, Rhonda, she said that's awesome. Appreciate your comments. Listen, we need you to share this message because it don't let it be taboo.
Yeah.
And we need you to support it. That's why that hashtag torn into touched, support it because it, Reed, I want to bring you a question. If you out there, and because we always tell somebody of authority, but what if that parent is the one that's abusing you? Don't stop there, go find someone until you get results.
Go find someone until you get results, absolutely, because the person that you should be able to trust might not be your trusted person. You know, and it could be a teacher at the school. It could be a pastor at the church. It could be the pastor's wife at the church if it's not the pastor. You know, it could be your youth leader. I've had youth leaders call me and say, Rita, something suspect. Can you come to the church? And I've gone up to different churches in the evening time, you know, to meet a kid because it was something really suspect happening at their home.
Mm-hmm.
So don't give up. There's somebody that'll listen to you that you can trust, and it might not be the person that you wish it would be.
Awesome distinction.
I guess, Rita, I need you to say this again because people, when they you talk about being abused or you talk about sex trafficking, they think about some CIS or some show. They don't think about that it's actually something that is happening three doors down.
Absolutely. It could be happening right next door. It could be happening to your family member and you don't even recognize it. Pay attention. Take the blinders off. Don't get yourself in, put yourself in a bad situation. But if you see an old dude or old woman in line in front of you and there's a kid and they're buying lubrication and condoms, call 911. Pay attention. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to put yourself in harm's way ever, but pay attention and pick up the phone and use it. Dial 911.
And let them go through the process.
Go through the process. But you did your part by calling, saying this didn't look right. You know, but like I said, we're so distracted. We might even miss that happening in front of us because we're all off on something else. And somebody really, are we our brother's keeper? Yeah, yeah. We are. So we just need to be more mindful, pay attention more to things that are happening in our community, in our neighborhood. Do you know your neighbors? Do you know who lives three houses down? Why they got boards up to the window? What, you know, and call the police if something looks suspect.
And even if the part that really worries me is that a lot of times the abuser is somebody that the kid knows.
Yep, most times.
It is 81% of the time.
Already in the circle, yes, of folks, yes, that the kid knows. And it could even be a classmate that's manipulating them in an unsavory way. You know, so we've got to raise awareness and we've got to be vigilant because it's just a lot more widespread than I think people really know.
That's worse.
Yeah. We got a couple minutes left here. If there's one thing you said, if people didn't hear anything else I said today, what's the one thing you want people, they might be changing radio stations. What's the one thing you want
people today? That sex trafficking is real, mm-hmm, that it's happening. It could be happening next door. Pay attention. Pay attention. To learn more, we have our community forum coming up. It's going to teach you. It's going to educate you. Pastors, tell your churches, tell your members. Greg, tell your friends. I mean, we're telling everybody, come to the whole project, the 5th annual Human Trafficking Community Forum, put on by the Lakeshore Human Trafficking Task Force and the Hope Project. It is January 23rd. It is from 6 to 8 p.m. The tickets are free. It's on Eventbrite. Go and register, reserve a ticket. It's at the Port City Church at 3387 Heights Ravanna Road. Mm-hmm. Come, learn, ask questions. We'll be there in the room. The FBI, police, prosecutor, we're in the room to answer any and all questions that you'll have.
It's a difficult situation, but it can be dealt with.
Absolutely.
It can be dealt with, but it will not be dealt with if you stay silent.
It will not be dealt with. That, now that's powerful. Say that again, Greg.
It will not be dealt with if you stay silent.
Absolutely. Our goal is to end sex trafficking. If you stay silent, it will never happen.
And that's why we're committed this whole 5-week series. I don't care. We have to go 8. The issues that are taboo in our community, we're going to attack it.
Yes.
Rita, Pastor Daryl.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much, and thank you for what you do.
Yeah. Thank you for what you guys do as well. I will pass on Torn and...
Hashtag Torn and Two.
Torn and Touch. Two. All right, we'll be checking it out. Thank you so much for having us. Hashtag Torn and Two.
God bless you. Listen, this message would be shown over and over again on WVS 103.7 to B Facebook site, M106, the Emoji app. If you know somebody's going through, give them this message. Go out and sow a seed in somebody's life. Don't talk about it's cloudy and snow. Go bless somebody. We'll see you next week. Take care. God bless.
God bless. God bless.